Hello and welcome to The Extra Environmentalist. I'm your host, Seth Moserkatz, joined by my co-host, Justin Ritchie.
We're speaking with Stephen Jenkinson about what it means to die and the problems that we have with death in our culture. And Stephen has some very interesting perspectives because he's worked with dying people for many years now, and he's learned a lot about indigenous wisdom of death and dying and how other cultures relate to death. And so that's what we're going to be talking to him about today.
In a culture that was healthy and that knew how to live deeply, you guys would have been at scores of deathbeds by the time you're 21 years old. You would have been expected to be there. But when I worked in the death trade for so many years, I was asked routinely by people with young children, did I think that they should bring their kids to see a grandpa in the hospital or, of course, to the cemetery or the funeral home? I mean, why is it even a question? And I would ask them, I would say, well, why wouldn't you bring your kids? And they would say, well, you know, I don't want them to be upset. And I said, well, do you mean by upset, do you mean sad? Are they not supposed to be sad because their grandfather's dying? What's the script for kids? They're not supposed to be touched by the depths of life? Is that it? Is that the magic of childhood? Has Disney had their way with us so deeply that kids aren't allowed to know anything? Until when? And then you hit, what, 16 and you're supposed to, or 21, or 28, or 35, or when, is the question. And the answer is, of course, never. You're never really supposed to have to contend with these things because life's supposed to be fair, and we're supposed to be an advanced culture and highly evolved and all the rest. And so presumably that means that we're supposed to be able to vote on when we have our challenges in life. But of course, I'm saying that with a big tongue-in-cheek, eh? Because you don't get any such vote. So, illiteracy where dying is concerned.
So I wanted to ask about your background and your experience. You mentioned you worked in the death trade. If you could talk a little bit about what you mean by that. And in looking into your background, you worked at a hospital or had experience with dying. Can you talk about how you came to some of these realizations?
Yeah, I could try. I mean, I hope I'm not going to sound too authoritative about how I learned this, because you know, whenever you're on the learning end of things, I mean, mostly you're kind of staggered and shocked and surprised, and you're not really in charge of the learning. The problem's in the culture. It's not an individual's imagination or psyche. And the inability to be sad is a culture-wide dilemma, you see. You try to get the word sadness into a conversation. I don't know if you've tried it, let's say, in the interviews that you've done with people in different subjects. You try to surface the idea of sadness. It's dismissed very quickly. And why is that? My experience is because it's determined that it's a kind of a useless thing to feel. Like you can't do anything with it. You can't turn it into anything. Our corner of the world has turned into a low-grade hell, certainly during the course of my lifetime. But I would prefer to say that the deeper understanding what's happening is the culture that gave me my education, my livelihood, and so on, that culture's dying. There's no question in my mind. I know what dying things look like. I've been at enough deathbeds to know the signs and the symptoms. And the culture itself is beginning to die. I'm not talking about the rivers being fouled, although that's certainly a piece of it, or the air. You know, I'm not talking about the wretched economic spirals and the extravagant greed that has become part of doing business and all of those things, they're all the signs. They're not the causes. Eh? But the culture itself is dying. So the challenge I give to the people who come to study with me in my school, for example, is just as follows. If the culture is dying, then what is asked of you? And the only way you can talk about that is to say, well, what if it's your mom then, or your dad? If your dad's dying, what do you do? Do you get as far away as possible as you can from it so that, quote, you don't die, but you will die? So making distance from your dying father is not going to help you, right? It's not going to save you from anything. It's just going to make you dumber longer. So then if your dad's dying, what's asked of you is that you approach. You're terrified. You're enormously distraught. You don't know what to say or do. And still, you must make your feet walk towards his deathbed or her deathbed. And that's the obligation that we have if the culture itself is dying. Our job is to be a faithful witness to what's happening. So first order of business is don't turn your head and don't blink, because someday somebody much younger than you is going to need to know what it looked like in the early days when things started to turn real bad and it was irreversible. They've got to get it from somewhere, man. They're not going to get it from newspapers. They're not going to get it from Fox News. You know that, and I know it too. But they might be able to believe someone in whose eye they can look while the story's being told. And maybe at some level, that's why you guys are doing these programs that you're doing. It's certainly one of the reasons I agreed to be on here with you.
So you're saying that as we march closer and closer to the end of our culture and our civilization, pretty much as we know it, our responsibility is not to run away from that impending doom, but it's to look towards it and embrace it and to be a part of it, in a sense.
In a fashion, I'm not sure about the embracing part, but I mean, I think, again, the family analogy is a good one. If it's somebody, let's just say mom, for the sake of not changing over and over again. So if it's your mom that's dying, I mean, obviously, hopefully you're going to embrace the woman herself more than once, right? Literally. But you're not obliged to die with her. That's not the program. It's not the human obligation for all of us to die at the same time because one of us is dying, right? No, the rest of us, our job is to be useful while the one close to us is dying. And it's not an easy thing to do. You can't be useful by keeping a 10-foot pole with you at all times and staying as far away from it as you can. You got to learn her death. And it doesn't require you to die or to go down, so to speak. But you're certainly going to know much more than you wish you did. That's the key thing. It's learning, but it's learning things you never wanted to know anything about. It's the same truth at the level of culture, that we have to learn enormous things about something that we prefer, let's say, to curse, let's say, to sneer at, you know, this broken, haggard, sad excuse we have for a culture and so on. Most people want to disown it. It's understandable, but it's deeply cowardly to do that. This is why I use the analogy. I began this by saying to you, the culture that gave me my livelihood, you see, what kind of a person am I to take everything I can take from the culture, and as soon as it starts to go down, I'm the first rat off the boat? What kind of dignity is this? There's no humanity in that, you see. So those among us who plan to be human while the culture's dying, our job is to be as close to the death as possible. So someday we can bear faithful witness to it. We can tell the story well. Maybe the story has some cautionary wisdom in it for generations not even yet born right now. If it's not me meeting them, then perhaps me talking to you, and then you talking to someone who's a generation younger than you someday, and so on. You see, that's the sequence that we have to rely upon.
One of the challenges in taking that approach, though, is one, our culture instills in us such a feeling of fear.
You know, it's not a great achievement to be fearful in fearful times. It's understandable. Don't get me wrong. I'm not judging. But I'm saying, in a hard time, you got to ask more of yourself than the circumstances would ask of you. I mean, the circumstance says, we've never taught you how to be a village. We've never taught you the deep understanding of community life. Sorry about that. And now that the culture's dying, we're still not going to teach you anything about it, and you're going to run for the hills one by one. Even at this late hour, we have to decide what our job is. I myself have decided some time ago what my job is, and that is to be in what I call the redemption business, by which I mean this. If the thing's going down, one of the things that it seduces in all of us, beyond the fearfulness and so forth, is to start thinking about number one right away. Well, I'm not going to do it. And maybe there's good reason to do it, but I don't care. I'm still not going to do it. So in the face of all this, I'm running a school about how to make village life in the very teeth of this calamity. And it's one gesture I can make in the face of everything that screams, don't do that. The sanest response is to make as much humanity as you can while you're still able to. That means you've got to ask of yourself, what does a human being do at a time like this? But that phrase, human being, is something you got to be really educated about. My way of saying it to you is to say, human beings don't turn away from things that are dying, that once upon a time they relied on. What human beings do is find a way to be useful to what's dying, not to stay away from it. It doesn't require you to die, because I promise you, your time will come, my time will come. The death of the culture doesn't coincide with your personal death, but it does coincide with a lot of personal sorrow and, yeah, fear, as you've said, and sense of alienation. But I'll say it again. You feel alienated? So what? All you're doing is contributing to the death spiral if you say, they never taught me how to be anything but alienated, so I'm going to remain so. You see, you're just pushing it off the edge. No, it's just a braver thing to do, to say, I think I'm going to do my damnedest to be human.